Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chad Johnson, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Is that Chevy Van? Was that song Chevy Van? Oh, no, it's not. I think it's Linux Kickers. Mike, hi from the Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. Hanging out with us here, Jimmy Denning, back at the studio, Matt, the pizza guy. You know, I almost said it, and then I caught myself because I wasn't going to say those words that you love so much.
Pizza man.
Coming up this hour, we will have last night's victor in the Ultimate Fighter, Kurt Hallabaugh. Val Woodburn at the bottom of the hour stepping in on 5 days' notice to taking on Bo Nickel. So a lot of good, cool stuff to talk about. What's going on football-wise in the world real quick, since that's your love? And I'm talking your football, our football.
My football. Well, not a lot, because this is the kind of the off-season now. So this is when ridiculous amounts of money get spent on the transfer kind of thing. We don't really start back again until sort of August time, but so this is the time when you literally just watch the news to see, you know, who's spending $100-200 million dollars on a guy kicking a piece of pigskin around.
It's crazy. So there's a website called VetTix, right, where veterans can go on and we can get free tickets. We have to pay a processing fee, which is literally nothing. Right. So the Orlando soccer team, what are they called, Matt?
Magic City, Orlando City.
Orlando City. Right. So their tickets are on all the time. And there was a whole list and everything. And all of a sudden, the tickets versus Miami disappeared. They took them off. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
And Sean wasn't quick enough to say, buy those. How big of a deal is that whole thing and what's going down
it's
in Miami?
Like, I mean, to anyone that doesn't know anything about football, I mean, you know, getting Lionel Messi is like, you know, it's like Michael Jordan coming to play basketball for your team. You know, it's kind of mind-blowing. But I think it's a great thing because football in America, so soccer, you know, but football in America is growing so much, and it's one of those things that you always expect America to succeed at a lot of sports because your infrastructure especially through the colleges of the way that you do sport is just far superior to virtually anywhere else in the world. You know, the way that you get looked after and nurtured through whatever sport it is, that's why America tends to succeed in lots of sports. Obviously football not being so popular here, but popular everywhere else around the world, getting people like your David Beckhams, Steven Gerrard came over, and now Lionel Messi coming over, I mean, that's mind-blowing because he's an entertainer. So your David Beckhams, as much as he's a celebrity, the work that he did and his position was not necessarily that impressive to someone that's just kind of watching the games to start with. Now, you're going to see Lionel Messi, who is, you know, arguably one of the greatest footballers of all time, and he's going to be doing things that will blow your mind, even at 34, 35. Right. And I think that's great because it just builds the sport and it builds the interest in the sport. And now, listen, the American national team has 6 or 7 lads that are all playing in Europe at the highest level. It won't be long before America becomes an actual force in soccer. I don't think it'll ever take the place of the NFL or, you know, the baseball or whatever. But I think you guys like success in sports. You thrive on it. And I think we ain't that far away from seeing an American team do very, very well on the world stage.
Before we go back to the studio and reach out to Matt, who's the big Spanish footballer?
Do you mean the Portuguese?
Is he Portuguese?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Well, no, I don't. I thought he was from Spain. That was at the Jacksonville event with Topoye.
Oh, that's Sergio Ramos.
And Sean lost his lunch.
Sergio Ramos is a Spanish legend. He was the captain of the Spanish national team, was a Real Madrid legend, you know, won every trophy that's ever existed, and he was part of. So if you go to play for Real Madrid, there's a term that they use all there called Galacticos, which basically means superstars, and that to play at Real Madrid is the pinnacle. It's the New York Yankees, it's the 95 Bulls, it's that kind of level of you've made it if you play for them. So yeah, I know him and Ili Topuria are big friends. So that was kind of nice to see him there.
So Jimmy, you know, obviously you were talking about the off season. It looks like Chris Paul's become an agent and is securing hundreds of millions of dollars for NBA players and athletes. But what I think is interesting about the Messi deal is, yes, he's going to make $50 to $60 million per year from Inter Miami, but he got points. I mean, he's looking at the Adidas, and Apple, where he's going to actually have a share of revenue from those two entities, which I think is going to change the way that these athletes structure deals going forward. And what do you think on that?
I think it's to be honest with you, it's so smart, because for the growth of the sport, to give the most famous player that kind of power is an amazing thing. So I think that will, I mean, I think it's a super smart deal, you know, but he doesn't need the money though.
All right, let's change it up for a minute.
Yeah.
Because not only does our next guest take a fight on 5 days' notice, he shows up early to come and hang out and talk to us.
Hell yeah.
How cool is that? Let's welcome to the program, Val Woodburn. Val, how are you?
I'm doing great.
So
I'm
tell us,
so excited to be here.
Tell us this whole thing. All of a sudden, you're at home, you're eating pizza and you know, cutting the yard, or what happened?
Basically, I do my whole landscaping back.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So, you know, I came home, you know, I was all right. Went in there, put my steak on the grill, you know, a little rice. I put it on, about to sit down, I pop open a Corona. I'm like, all right, oh man, long day. Next thing you know, my manager's calling me. I'm like, normally he usually texts me, yeah. But at this time, like, when he's calling me, got to be important. So answer the phone, he's like, where you weighs at? I'm like, 206, 211. He's like, damn, can you make weight? I'm like, yeah, I can make weight. What's good? It's like, we got an opportunity for you to fight bold niggas this weekend. I said, all right, let me call my coach. And he was with it. And then I said, yeah, let's go. I mean, opportunities like this don't come by.
Yeah.
You know, International Fight Week, you know, on one of the biggest cards. You know, it couldn't be more excited.
It's quite an entrance. Mm-hmm. And the I don't know what we're allowed to say, but the cojones on you, I absolutely love. The mm-hmm. idea that, like I said, this is your first UFC experience. It's International Fight Week. It's Vegas. It's the main card against someone that the UFC and the MMA, you know, media in general are pushing that this guy is, you know, he's a special fighter, and they think he's got some special skills. You know, I mean, it's kind of a no lose situation. You've come in, you've taken a fight which probably other people have gone, no, I'm too afraid of that, and you've just come in and just gone, nah, it's I'm having every minute of that, and I can't get over how well built you are, right? Because obviously when this change happened and you graciously came on the show, obviously you start looking into your career and all this kind of stuff, and I saw a picture of you and I was like, oh my lord. I says, there's no, and someone like Bo is going to struggle to manhandle someone that's, you know, is as big as you.
So I'm friends with Lorenzo Hunt, and Lorenzo put a post up,
Juggernaut,
and said, oh, try taking this guy down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I saw that right away, and then, you know, Jimmy said the research that he did, but I didn't answer that. But yeah. I wanted you to know that, yeah, Juggernaut said, Juggernaut. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you, Juggernaut. Yeah. What was the question again, brother?
No, we were just saying. Listen, you know, we'll put it this way. Listen, you've come into this sort of situation. You've stepped up to the plate and all that kind of stuff. What gaps do you see in his game, or have you not even had chance to look at his fights? You know, have you? I mean, in the last 3 or 4 days, it must have been, okay, we've got to sort the family out. I've got to get on a plane. I've got to get out to Vegas. Got to make weight. You've got to do all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But have you had time to actually look at any footage?
Yeah, yeah. The second my manager told me who I was fighting, I looked them up. I saw a contender fight and a fight he actually had in the UFC, but those guys were scared of him.
Yeah.
Those guys were scared of him, you know what I'm saying? I'm not scared of him because I'm well-rounded.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's strong for his wrestling. What else?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is I'm a well-rounded, not the greatest striker, not the greatest wrestler, not the greatest jiu-jitsu practitioner, but I feel like in MMA, you don't have to be great. You have to be good, well-rounded.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you almost feel offended? You know, that people are like, you know, you've got nothing to lose. Well, yeah, you do.
I'm highly offended. It's almost like personal. Just because I feel like he had an option to fight my teammate and me. He had it on the table. For one, my teammate's been on the board for forever waiting to get signed. He just looked over him and chose me. So I feel like he feel like I'm going to be a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know what I mean? Did it even matter that the fight was Bo? Like, if it could have been anybody else, you would have jumped at it no matter what.
I was going to take a fight last year in Brazil against Darren something. Was a smaller middleweight. He was supposed to fight someone in Brazil. I was supposed to fight his opponent, but that never happened. I had a few formal opportunities that just never really followed through, just because at the time I wasn't signed. You know what I'm saying? I was just still in the process of training and getting better with my coach, because everybody was like, "Hey, well, you took a year off. Took a year off to train and get better, because when you're here, everybody's good. You can't come in with a bullshit amateur little skill. You have to."
He said, "Ship." He said, "Bullshit."
Amateur skills. Amateur skills. So, you know, you gotta have something, man. You gotta have something to impress all these people. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have something up there. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's what's gonna be.
Where in Florida are you?
I'm based in Edgewater right now, in Florida.
Okay. You know, we're based out of Florida, national show based out of Florida. Does it take time? Because it does for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different heat. It's a dry. It's a wet. Whatever. It's different than what we're used to in Florida.
Yeah. Florida's more moist when it comes to that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it's definitely a different environment.
And Val, I mean, being in Florida, I mean, you're coming out of Fusion XL. I mean, I know this is your debut in the UFC, but you got some killers in that gym.
Yeah.
Before you answer. So Matt, I guess this was your first question to Val, and he's like, "What is this? Is this God?" I
mean, yeah, it's God.
He's here.
I heard you say the word moist, and I had to chime in. I was like, okay.
So God, re-ask the question because I already forgot it.
No, with Fusion XL. You know, Philip Rowe, the Philly Fresh Kid, and Michael Platinum Perry. I mean, the list goes on and on. You train and get ready with some absolute animals yourself. So even though it's your debut in the UFC, you're coming well prepared, I assume.
Mm-hmm. I'm coming well prepared, well rounded, well focused. I'm locked in. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to impress you guys. I'm ready to earn a fan of you guys. So
well, I think a lot of fans have already jumped on board just because, you know, that may not have known you. That, you know, the storyline, it's offensive to you, but people don't know that. They just think this is a guy that's taken Bo Nickel.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to the UFC. We'll see what happens. No, I can see on your face how pissed you are, you know, like I've already said.
So what kind of fights can, you know, the sort of thousands of people that are millions of people that are going to be watching this, what kind of fight are you going to bring on Saturday night?
Bruv, it's going to be a dog fight.
I love it. And his accent is pretty good as well. Fight, bruv.
He walked in with a smile on his face. Now I'm scared.
Yeah, no.
I'm trying to lead him away from you. I'm a little scared now.
It's going to be a dog bloody bath, bruv.
It's not bad. In fairness, it's not bad. It's not bad. So does it go long? Does it go short? You know, you're a kind of, you know, you've got a couple of, you know, your record suggests that you enjoy knocking people out.
Winning.
You know.
Well, honestly, to be honest and be really humble and really respectful, when I go in a fight, I never say, hey, I'm going to finish this guy in the first round.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to fight. And whenever this round, whenever you decide you want to go out, the fight is over.
Right.
Whatever round, one, two, or three. You know what I'm saying? I never try to predict that, because at the end of the day, let's be all real here. Let's be real with stuff here. It's not script. It's fucking live.
He did not say that. He said trucking.
Oh,
this is trucking. This is real.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. We'll blame Matt. Don't worry.
I'm sorry about that. But yeah, I feel like MMA is not script. You know what I'm saying? So you can't really predict.
Yeah.
When you're throwing hard punches, you know what I'm saying? Like you know what I'm saying? You just got to respect your opponent. You know what I'm saying? I'm giving Bo all that respect. I'm not sleeping on his wrestling. The guy's D1. What? Mm. That's D1 wrestling. You know what I'm saying? You can't sleep on that. But hey, I'm a better fighter.
Yeah.
How much in a fight is just flowing with what's going? How much of it are you thinking? You know, some fighters are, and I don't know how you can do this. I'm thinking three things. How can you think three things down?
I tune everybody out and listen to my coaches and take and whatever he's saying, I'm like, all right, this guy's remember, I'm in front of him. So what are my coaches saying? I'm like, is this making sense right now? All right, should I throw this punch? Yeah, I'm the crowd. I block him out.
Yeah.
Can you teach me how to block him out? Because if I never hear another woo, you know, the rest of my life, you know, other than from Ric Flair, I want to learn how to block that stuff out.
Woo don't bother me because I've been booed in plenty.
Not boo, before, the woo. Yeah. You know, because everybody, all of a sudden, Ric Flair is everywhere. 200,000 Ric Flairs in there. How can you block everything else out and just sense on that one or two?
Bro, man, let me tell you. Ever since I started as a fighter, it's been a skill that I try to develop as a from an amateur to this day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always try to hear my coaches in the corner. I always try to make that pathway, because I block the fans out just because they don't make sense. Yeah. They all drunk out there.
Yeah,
it don't make sense.
So again, yeah. FCC. Yeah. So I know what could be coming next.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I would have did this. I would have did that.
Yeah.
Nah. It's like I said, it's real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when it's live.
Yeah.
It's nothing script. So I'm really, really ready to go out there and put on a show and impress you guys, and you know what I'm saying? Show Dana White there's a new gladiator on the roster.
Oh no,
whoa. Keep the animal, I'll be the gladiator.
I love the gladiator mentality.
Hey,
that thing's a gladiator.
So Val, real talk though. Obviously, it's easy to tune out the fans because they're not a factor. But what about when somebody like Dan Hardy comes out and is critical and saying that this is a setup, that the UFC is cultivating a career for Bo Nickel? What does that do to you as far as motivation?
Dan Hardy is going to be coming up to me asking me questions after this fight because I'm going to make him eat his words.
Ooh, okay.
Would you even talk to him after?
Yeah, of course. Okay. It's all business. Okay. There's nothing personal in this. It's all business, man. Yeah. Commentators and all that, I mean, they're doing their jobs. You know what I'm saying? It's up to me to say, you know.
Prove them wrong.
Yeah.
You can remind them that yesterday they lost the Revolutionary War.
Oh, definitely.
We had a great holiday yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to put some buttons, too.
Are you a fan of other sports? And you know, what else do you watch and follow? And
I watch American football. I watch basketball. But I'm more into American football.
Do you fish at all?
Yes.
We need you to come to town. You know, we're based in Tampa.
Okay.
Tampa, St. Pete. We'll take you out on the boat fishing.
Okay.
Matt owns a pizzeria.
Okay.
We'll pump you full of both of us.
Okay.
So, you know, pizza and, you know, take care of business on Saturday and then come to town.
Let's do it.
Let's hang out. Let's fish. And we're taking Pat Sabatini out fishing on Sunday.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll set that up.
I'll be gladly to happily earn that fishing trip.
Good enough. Finally, and we've already talked about it numerous times, what can the fans expect? You know, when you get into that octagon on Saturday.
A dog fight, bro. A dog fight. A really messy one, bro.
I have a problem with, I like how you said a dog fight. I'm not a fan of when fighters say, I'm going to war. You know, as a veteran.
War can be anything.
But war's war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a fist fight, which is a fist fight. It's a dog fight. It's what. It's not a war. There's not bullets. But a dog fight.
Whatever gets you ready to do it, you know, it's the whatever mentality you've got.
I'm ready for the dog fight.
I can't wait. I honestly can't wait for this fight. I think people would be very surprised at how focused you seem to be.
Mm-hmm.
With 4 days out, coming into International Fight Week, Vegas, all of the hullabaloo and all of the nonsense that goes with it, you seem laser focused. And I was excited about the fight anyway, but now, having met you, I cannot wait. I think this is going to be an absolute banger. And I think, you know, like I said, you know, you've got an opportunity now that most people never get. Do you ever, as a kid, when you maybe started, you know, training, did you ever think, you know, have you allowed yourself a moment this week to look in the mirror and, you know, just kind of go, I'm fighting on the main card at the UFC and International Fight Week, you know, and have that moment of going, what a journey you've kind of been on.
It hit me this morning at 4 o'clock when I woke up. I opened the windows. I'm like, shit.
Shoot.
I love this guy.
The best.
I'm going to be in the UFC. I'm like, and then Lance came to me and said, like, look, man, he gave me the uniform. He's like, you're a UFC fighter now. I'm like, man, you know, this is like one in a million. Because, you know, you go to the gym, a gym full of people, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's trying to make it, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's preparing and doing all them stuff. But, like, when you like, one of the few to make it out, I mean, that's special, you know what I'm saying? That shows that you actually put in the work and you put in dedication and you was willing to learn and you was willing to do whatever it takes. You know what I'm saying? Not even knowing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
Val, before Randy lets you sign off and all that, I just want to say, go out there, have a great time on Saturday. Enjoy the experience. Win Fight of the Night bonuses so you can help us with some of those fines from the interview. But we love you, man. Can't wait to see you in Tampa.
I'll be better next time. I'll be more next time.
You can come through and we'll do some real gladiator workouts when you come to St. Pete.
Of course. I'll be more than happy to jump on the boat with you guys.
Val, thank you very much for your time. So enjoy the week. Have fun on Saturday. We're going to get you your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a care package from Bucked Up Energy Drink. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to set up these fish-ins. I can get you on the lakes at Disney World.
Okay.
We can hook that up. Yeah, you stopped in on the right show. All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas as we get ready for UFC 290. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
Hi, this is Scott Hamilton. You're listening to, or maybe you're not, to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. Enjoy the show.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
If you've never been to Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches before, there really is no comparison. Ike's is about love first, then sandwiches, which is why they take extra special care to make sure there are great options for every kind of eater. No other restaurant in the world has more kick-ass options and endless combinations for meat lover, vegetarian, vegan, halal, and gluten-free. Dutch clutch bread paired with Ike's exclusive dirty sauce, a creamy garlic aioli toasted right into the bread, is a transcendent experience that will electrify your taste buds. Ike's Lovin' Sandwiches has been voted the best sandwiches in the world by Ike's mom. Place your order for irresistible and unforgettable sandwiches for pickup or delivery at ikesandwich.com or through the Ike's Lovin' Sandwich app.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Jorge Gamebred Masvidal, the baddest motherfucker and the fighter of the year, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
It's all good. All right, so as we continue broadcasting live from the UFC Apex Center, we had Jason Knight on. He is our weekly correspondent to talk about last night's episode. But let's go one step further like we do, as we always welcome last night's winner on. Let's welcome him. That is Kurt Hollebaugh. Kurt, how are you, sir?
What's going on, man? I'm doing good.
First and foremost, holy cannoli and wow.
Thank you.
We'll talk about the fight in a second. The couple of the questions that we always start with. How did you get the call? How did you know that you were going to have the opportunity to be on this season of Tough and hopefully get a UFC contract?
So, my manager hit me up one day and said, I just sent an Ultimate Fighter application to your email. Go check it out, fill it out, send it back. And I'm like, all right, well, this could be interesting. So, that's what I did. Sent it back, and I was selected to be on the show.
How did you prepare, and was it any different from any of the other guys that are in the house? Did you watch old shows? Did you know who some of the fighters were going to be? How did you prepare and get ready?
So I started preparing just like it was a normal fight. I knew how it was going to be. I've definitely watched a lot of former seasons. And then word was starting to come out and speculation, I started hearing a few different guys were going to be on it. So I just kept doing a little bit of research and listening to what was coming out.
Were you one of the guys, so far only one of the fighters this season, and it's the only fighter to ever say, I didn't go run to get a bed. I didn't run to go get the proper position in the house. Were you one of the ones that wanted to location over just walk in nonchalant as a ex-UFC fighter?
No, I didn't really care where the room was going to be. I didn't run into the house first. Every time I see guys do that on the show, I think they look like idiots. I figured, I'm just going to walk in casually, check it out, look around, see if I can find me a good spot.
One of the fighters, and I don't remember breakfast, so I don't remember which week it was, he said the same thing, and then he said he regretted it because then he was in the room that was right next to the kitchen.
Yeah, so that's the thing, kind of thinking going in, everything was going to be pretty much the same. We didn't know that some beds were going to be better than others. You had some guys sleeping on Tempur-Pedic mattresses and then some guys sleeping on some box springs. So, I actually got stuck in the only downstairs room with my teammate, Jason Knight, Bro Roberts. So we was all four in a room, and we was piled up on some bunk beds.
So Kurt, we had Nico, the Hybrid Price, on earlier. Obviously he's fighting this weekend. And we were, Jimmy brought up that he has six children. And it appears that you're a father of five. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
Man, I get it from the male perspective, how you've had this career and been able to have five children. But your wife is a two-time IBJJF world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So how does that work between pregnancies? I don't even understand how you guys can have five kids and all these accolades.
So this is how it went. I had three kids of my own when me and my wife got together, and she had one. So after we got together, we had one together. So she's actually only birthed two, but you know how it goes. She's a mother to five now.
Sure. So, and the kids, they watch you on TV. They excited about your fights. Do you kind of keep them sheltered away from the violence?
No. My oldest is 15 and my youngest is 3. But for a long time up in my career, I never brought my kids to the fight. And I think the very first fight I brought any of my kids to, I brought my son when he was like 10 years old. Or he might have been younger, to the Madison Square Garden fight. And ever since then, I've been bringing my kids to the fight every chance I get.
Kurt, let's talk about, and we're only talking up through last night, where are we in filming? So last night was, how long have you now been in the house?
I want to say that was 2 weeks, because they first did the first set of fights in the first week, second set of fights, which was me and Lee. And a couple other guys in the second week. So we're 2 weeks in right now.
Okay, 2 weeks in, 5-0 leading up to last night. How is it going in the house, the two teams, 1-0 and 5, and one's 5-0? How is just the rapport and everything in the house?
Everything stayed pretty chill in the house. I mean, you seen in the earlier episodes, you had a little bit of confrontation between Roe and Landon. But I feel like some of that kind of chilled out as everybody really got to know each other and guys started fighting. You know, you would think from past seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, you know, things would kick off more as guys got eliminated essentially from the competition and then started maybe drinking and partying a little bit. But it never really got crazy or bad after that. You know, everybody in the house was super professional, whether they were the prospects or the veterans. So everybody, even after they lost and was out of the competition, still handled themselves like professionals.
All right, this is just my opinion, not yours, not anybody else's. Everybody was professional but one. But let's speak about the ones that were professional. Talk about Chandler, his coaching staff, and how they've handled the season, obviously, up through last night.
You know, those guys were amazing. Can't say enough good things about Chandler and all the coaches that he brought in. You know, those guys helped out, you know, so much. And, you know, even after last night, you can kind of see, you know, everybody just try to calm everybody down and try not to let things escalate.
Final question before we talk about the fight itself. I'm curious, what animal on your property do you not have that you would like to acquire and add to, you know, the family?
I would say probably maybe a cow, get some cattle going.
Okay. Right. There you go. Let's talk about the fight that we witnessed last night. Obviously, things didn't go well. Round one, it appeared. Round two, pretty much the same, and then a mistake was made. What was going through your mind round one and early in round two?
So, I mean, right off the get-go, you know, when he put me down, I knew right away that he was big and strong, which we already knew that before. We knew how much weight he was cutting. We knew how big he was, and we knew how strong he was. I mean, I've heard from multiple guys in the house saying how good he really was, and he was really the rightful number one on Conor McGregor's team. So I knew I was just going to have to play a little bit of a waiting game and tire him out a little bit, you know. But, you know, this wasn't your normal three-round fight, so and I don't know if that actually registered, that it wasn't really a three-round fight. I knew it. But as time was starting to tick, I mean, I knew I was losing a fight. And there was a couple of times I started trying to do some different stuff. But, man, Lee was good. You know, he's the real deal. He was good. He gave me an amazing fight up until I was able to get the finish. And, you know, but before that, I haven't really fought in, like, 2 years. So, and I've never been the one to believe in ring rust. But, you know, I felt like I was just a little bit of slow in following, man. Maybe – I don't know. Maybe I had a little ring rust. Maybe I didn't. But, you know, wind up him making a mistake, me trying to come up. Or maybe that was the perfect timing. You know, I was waiting on that type of opportunity to be able to get a good position and try to put the fight away.
You know, and I was going to ask you that because I always ask fighters, you know, what are you thinking? Are you planning ahead? Are you just rolling and flowing? What went through your mind, if you even remember, when you saw the open neck?
So, well, first off, I knew I was able to get up. And when I came up, I was like, okay, that's it. I have to finish up the round because I think I was looking at the timer. The timer was, like, right by my some of my coaches, and I can see the time. So I was like, man, this is it. If I want to win this round and get to a third round, I have to stay on top, and I have to do some damage. So I kind of felt like whenever I was coming up, that I was already going to be able to steal the round. And then he went for like a foot lock or a lead lock and tried to come up after I did a little back step, and his head was just right on my hip, and I'm very good at guillotining. So once I was able to touch it, that was on my perfect side. That was on my good side. So, man, once I was able to connect my hands together and slide to a mount, I mean, I knew it was over.
Again, we're only talking up through last night, so I'm curious, and I've asked the fighters each week, when do you start worrying about, you know, and I still don't call them, it's not really a team. They're training partners from all over the country, et cetera, et cetera. You're bonding. I get that. When do you start worrying? I'm going to be fighting, possibly, because, again, it's before the fight. I'm going to be fighting Jason. I'm going to be fighting this guy, you know, that's wearing team red. When do you start, or have you even started yet, leading up to last night's fight, worrying about that?
You know what? what's kind of weird. We never worried about it. You know, even from the get-go, I mean, the whole plan was, hey, we're going to take out the other team and we're going to fight each other. I love you boys. We're going to train together. And we made that pact from like day one. Hey, we're going to train together all the way up until we have to fight each other. Till the day that we fight each other, we're going to train together. And, you know, that's what we did.
It was good stuff. Congratulations on last night. And for people that don't, you know, get it, still tuning in, that, you know, this was filmed a little while ago. We saw it last night. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from Ape Man Strong, as well as a care package from Bucked Up Energy Drink for coming on the program. And let's talk again real soon.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Kurt Hollebach last night. And that's why I love this sport. And I've always said it, that, you know, you can't stop. You know, you can be down round one. You can be down round two in the three-round fight or championship in the four or five. You know, one thing, one mistake, one punch, one whatever. So all good stuff. Let's go hit a quick break, and we will continue from the UFC Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
And you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Biggest or strongest, it's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Live from the UFC Apex. So I've told the story on the air, and I guess I need to throw myself under the bus a little bit, and I'll tell you.
Okay.
I've listened to music my whole life.
Yeah.
I could probably sing very badly, but sing a song or two. And have no idea what I just sang.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I don't listen to the words, per se.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Okay.
So, we covered the UFC in Jacksonville 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Steve, being the rock and roller, took us to the Jug. I think that's what it's called.
Right.
Jug, right? And a lady's explaining stuff to us, and I'm blocking her out. You know, I didn't really pay much attention. And as we're driving back, my son is telling me what she explained.
Right.
Of the song, Give Me Three Steps.
Right.
So there's a X like in the bar of where Van Zant stood when he said, give me three steps to the door.
Okay.
And I'm like,
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
I wonder if all songs, and I know they are, but I've never stopped to really listen.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense, you know, I like the song. I like the beat. I like the words, but I don't put two and two together.
Sure. Sure.
You know, so Sean, as we're driving back or we were going somewhere, he goes, do you ever look at the words to M-Bop?
The Hansons. Hansons song. Yeah. Okay.
And not the famous Hansons, who really are not the Hansons in Slapshot.
Right, okay.
You know, they're not the Hansons.
They're the
Carlsons.
Hansons.
They're the Carlsons.
Yeah.
But go and look at those words.
Do I have to?
No. No. But it's okay. Now that I know, because you can't understand, you know, it's the 9-year-old that's doing most of the singing, I think.
Sure, sure.
So you can't really. So, yeah, it's like opened at this age a whole new world to listening to music, to now looking at the words to see what the song's really singing about.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's because maybe it's just because I do that for a living.
Sure.
You kind of invest a bit more time in
exactly.
You know, in like listening to what it's all about and the you know the stories and all of that. You know, I always love things like, you know, famously when Guns N' Roses did the Appetite for Destruction album and they were doing Sweet Child of Mine. You know, there's the moment in the middle, like a kind of bridge, and he says, where do we go now? Well, it was actually the engineer shouted to him, he said, where do we go now, Axel? He said, they hadn't written that part of the song, and then Axel Rose apparently was so high on something or other, and he just started dancing around going, where do we go? And then, of course, that became such an iconic song, you know. But, yeah, so.
Well, and I know that a lot
of useless information like that.
Well, you know, I purposely don't talk music with you, you know, because I want you to enjoy, and it's not work and all that stuff. But I kind of wanted to just tell you that because, you know, Steve and Sean, they're looking at me like I'm a moron because I'm now looking at it differently.
Yeah.
Like the dude literally stood there and a gun was pointed at him and he wrote that song from that experience. To me, was just.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's brilliant.
And I'm sure that's 99% of all music.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and I've always said my favorite interview of all time was Daughtry when I interviewed him about Gone Too Soon and, with my grandson and all that kind of stuff. So that, just wanted to say that to you.
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
Anything, Matt?
Well, I mean, speaking of being three steps out the door, the Lightning have traded Pat Maroon this week to the Wild for a draft pick. So the salary cap's looking pretty low for the Lightning. And
hey, they had a nice run. Speaking of run, I know you're a Knight.
I am a big Golden Knights fan. Thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. It's funny. You know, I see a lot of people that are big, big hockey fans and much bigger than me, you know. But I moved to Vegas before the Knights even existed. So, you know, obviously with what happened just prior to the season really getting going with the shooting we had here, it kind of brought this community together, and people have got this perception of Vegas that it's very superficial and false. And of course, down on the strip in the casino,
that's just
kind of the way it is. But, you know, there's a lot of heart here, and there's a lot of very good people here, and this is a growing city, and I was quite surprised with the community, and the Knights mean a lot to the people based on that experience that we all kind of went through.
You know what's funny about that, though? Think about it. The Boston Marathon bombing.
Yeah.
Then the Red Sox go on and win.
Yeah.
New Orleans, you know, Katrina. With the floods, and then they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Katrina. You know, it's just strange how...
It was an amazing the way that sport has a great way of bringing people together.
Right? Sure.
This is a bit of a cliche, but it's absolutely true. And this city was devastated with that. I was two hotels away when that thing happened. I have two friends that got shot, both thankfully survived, but it was a big deal. And the way that the city and the way that the Knights as an operation came together to support the city was amazing. So then to get to the Stanley Cup final, obviously subsequently losing it to the Capitals, but it was an amazing thing. So I do hear a lot of people saying, well, they got the pick of this player and they had this, and I don't quite know how the salary cap kind of thing works and everything. But to be honest with you, to this team, within 6 years, I defy any atmosphere to come close to a Knights game. When it's rocking and rolling in there, it's incredible.
True. You know, and we've been to a couple games, and just as you're talking about how they got the expansion and how they put it together, these are players that were not protected by all these other teams.
Sure.
So it's not like, you know, the Knights said, okay, Lightning, I'm taking Steven Stamkos.
Yeah.
You know, you protected who you felt was the heart and soul of your team, and they were able to acquire.
And I think they made a really big thing of that, galvanized the team, because it literally was a team of misfits.
Mm-hmm.
It was a team of people that weren't wanted. And, you know, maybe at the start of their career and they haven't quite made the grade, or at the end of their career and they've passed their best. But it galvanized, and it was so nice to see the kind of six original players to win the Stanley Cup. You know, there was the six lads that were there from the very, very beginning. It was amazing. What an absolute feat. You know, the Raiders winning the Super Bowl here will not mean anything in comparison to that, I don't think, because of what it means to the city and
all right, hold
and
on
the
a
story.
Second. Hold on a second. You're getting way ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
Raiders winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm no Raiders fan, so
I'm a closet. I'm an old closet Raider fan. I liked the old silver and black.
Right.
When my guy Warren Sapp went to the Raiders. I mean, this Raiders team's not going to the Super Bowl.
No.
Unless they have tickets.
Yeah, well. But no, it's such a funny thing. The difference in the kind of support that the city has, the Vegas is literally hockey crazy right now, and it has been for the last sort of 6 years, where, you know, it's great. You bring the NFL here. I mean, I still don't understand how you can move a team out of one city to another. That's completely bonkers to us back home. But I understand it's a business. It's a very different model. But, I you know, I'm no great fan of the kind of, you know, there's an element that comes with the Raiders coming to Vegas that, you know, I'm no massive fan of, if I'm being honest. I haven't seen a few games there. I think it's funny. When you ask someone to pay $250 a ticket, you don't want to have a certain element around you misbehaving.
Sure,
I don't mind that, and I'm not kind of soft.
You can
that
handle yourself,
because
I know.
Because I can. But, I grew up in you know, going to see football matches in the 80s, where, you know, people would throw darts at you and vials of acid and all sorts of crazy stuff. So you've seen it, but you're just going, look, if you're going to take your family to a game, right, you know, if you're going to maybe see the Eagles or something like that, you know it's going to be a kind of rougher element to it type of deal. But you don't expect it in a brand new stadium where they're charging you $20 a beer.
Except for, no, I get that. But, and again, I wouldn't expect you to know this, and it is a little different. But the old Oakland Raiders,
yeah,
that was the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
You didn't go into the black hole.
Yeah.
Because you knew. And to be honest, I was one of the most disappointing things I've done in my career is when the Bucks played the Raiders.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what we've always known,
sure,
growing up.
Sure.
You know, it's probably what it is now,
yeah,
but it's not what, yeah, you know, I expected what it was when the Buccaneers played Philadelphia, you know,
yeah,
in Philly, and two of the ex-Buccaneers, now obviously ex, almost went in the stands,
yeah,
you know, after fans,
yeah,
you know, and of course, anybody who knows the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that was Nate Webster and Dwight Smith, which wouldn't surprise me, you know, for either one of those guys to go into the stands. Give me your thoughts real quick, and I know you're not a baseball guy, but if the Oakland A's come, it will be different, obviously, than the Raiders or the Knights.
The people of Oakland must absolutely hate Vegas.
Yeah. Well,
must hate them.
But the only thing that the people of Oakland hate more than Vegas is the Oakland A's and the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah,
you know, which is why they're, you know, it's,
listen, business is business.
Business is business.
My only thought would be, I'd like them to strategically place the stadium somewhere where it's not going to cause,
you think,
complete havoc, because there's been, I know there was talk of where the Tropicana is at the, right, top end of the strip, or bottom end, depending on which way. You know, they were going to flatten that whole thing and build this incredible stadium, and it was going to be fabulous. But you're going, oh, come on, can we not just build it slightly outside of town so it's not, it doesn't cause, you know, because like I said, when we have a big fight at the T-Mobile or the hockey, and likewise when, you know, when the Raiders are playing at home, it's just, well, carnage, the roads and the parking and all those little things. I just hope if they do it, brilliant. Vegas has become a real sports town, and as a sports guy, I love that. I would,
sure,
definitely go and bought and be a part of it, because I love baseball. I don't know much about it, but I do love it.
Neither do the Oakland A's.
Yeah, I might get a game. You never know.
You know, the thing that I dislike most about it is my $11 stays at Excalibur will now go to $500 a night.
There you go.
And they won't change the Excalibur.
Yeah.
It'll be the same Excalibur at $500.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting how that plays out, you know, for sure. What you got, Matt?
I'm just wondering if you were at the White House this week celebrating the 4th of July.
No, I did not leave a package anywhere.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Was somebody was celebrating a little hard in the West Wing and left their little baggie of stimuli behind. So,
well, I will say this, and again, truthfully, I had nothing to do with what I'm about to tell you. It was pre me being on my ship. So when the ship that I went to was in the shipyards in Boston. And when you go into the shipyards, they literally tear the entire ship down, and you know, you're then welding it all back together. So they found something in the exhaust in one of the compartments where the guy slept.
Right.
That must have been hidden in there years ago.
Right.
So who knows? Who knows? Yeah.
I mean, I just can't. It's like
we can imagine who brought it in.
It's such a bizarre thing. It's actually like we're watching like an episode of, I don't know, like 24 or something like this, where all of every day you turn your phone on or your Twitter on, and you just see like it's the next the next ridiculous thing.
I'm going to disagree with you. It's not 24 and it's not West Wing. It's an episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah. Now, oh, speaking of The Simpsons, did you see that they predicted the Titan, you know, submersible that went down and blew up at the bottom of the ocean? Like, they predicted that ahead of time. Like, they have this, like, uncanny career of predicting things before they actually become real tragedies on The Simpsons.
Okay.
And then Subway.
I've never seen The Simpsons.
The Subway is taking backlash right now because a Subway in Georgia put a sign up and said, our subs don't implode. So they're catching a bunch of backlash. But it's the first time that they've been relevant since the Subway guy went to jail for, indecent.
Well, no, that's not true. You know, they were relevant when whatever her name is kneeled during the national anthem, you know, as she was representing Team USA.
I mean, they hired the greatest Buccaneer of all time, Tom Brady, to represent their subs, and he doesn't even eat bread. He doesn't eat bread. The guy doesn't.
I thought that was the craziest ever.
Like, he's a vegan and he doesn't eat bread, but yet they had him pitching Subway sandwiches.
What kind of man doesn't eat bread?
A guy whose body fat is minus.
Yeah, I know, but listen, I know, but is he happy, though? You've got to eat bread. What's wrong with you, Tom?
You know, I know that we have a couple minutes before the top of the hour, but, you know, I'll tell this one real quick. So 4 years ago, my dad and I both went on keto.
Right.
All right. My dad lost 70-some pounds.
Wow.
Hated life. My mom wouldn't let him eat spaghetti. My mom wouldn't let him eat ice cream. He lost an incredible amount of weight.
Yeah.
Then got sick and died. And that's why I've said, you know, I may cut back here and there, you know, maybe one Klondike a night instead of two. You know, I'm going to cut back a little, but you know, like you said, and jokingly, but it's true, you've got to enjoy life.
You have to. It's like, you know, you have to have that mentality. But in the same breath, you also have to be, you know, there's a fine line. You know,
sure.
You have to look after yourself, obviously. But I remember when I was younger, my father never drank a day in his life because all of my family, all of his family, were all alcoholics. Typical Scots, right? Friendly alcoholics, but alcoholics none the same. So he never drank. And then he was about 41. So I'd have only been about 10 or 11. And he had pains in his head, and they went and they gave him a scan, and they found a tumor on his brain. And they said, look, we can actually deal with this with some drugs. And they said, and the doctor actually said to him, do you drink? And he said, no, I don't touch a drop. And he said, look, he says, try a glass of red wine a day. He said, especially with being an entertainer, and he comes in late at night, he said, it's a great way of relaxing. He says, but also, just try just a glass of red wine because it's very, very good for thinning the blood, which will help us with the tumor while we're bringing it down in size. So, of course, now fast forward to my dad now being 75, 76. He now has shares in vineyards. he has a case of fine red wine brought every couple of days. So, and he's like, listen, it's medicinal. The doctor says,
yeah,
this is what it's all about. But you can't concern yourself with, you know, you'll die worrying.
No,
you
for sure.
You might as well. We're not here very long. You know, you're a long time dead, as me old granddad used to say.
Yep. Enjoy it. So I've cut back. When I go to Matt's shop, when I go to Tournament to Pizza, I now eat two slices instead of two pies.
That's how the pizza diet started. I cut one kid off for eating three large pizzas a day down to two slices at a time, and he lost 50 pounds in 3 months.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
How much money did you lose?
Well, yeah, I lost a lot of. Yeah, he told me it was a bad business decision, but but I couldn't sleep at night knowing that I was destroying somebody's health just to make a profit.
I know. I'm all about the money.
All right, let's go hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we will enter hour number three. Bill McConnell getting ready to step in. He is from the Las Vegas Super Bowl Committee. We'll speak to him as well as our final UFC 290 guest, Alonzo Menafield. That's hour number three, coming to you live from the UFC Apex Center. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Ron Duguay from formerly New York Rangers, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.